With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Tania Maria Xavier, the host of ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. You can stop by at coloredpeople.net and check out all that's going on with this wonderful network. Connect with us through Facebook, through Twitter, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. I would like to start out by giving you the phone number to dial in, which is 949-209-2956, and that is if you'd like to ask our guest, Michael Green, a question, or if you'd like to speak to us. The number again is 949-209-2956. And if you'd like to listen to the show online, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. That's blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. All right, it is Sunday, February 5th. It's 5:31 Central Time, 3:31 Pacific, and 6:31 Eastern. For those football fans that are taking a few minutes out of your time to tune in to us, thank you so much. And just be mindful that this show will be archived. You can listen to it through our Blog Talk Radio page, or you can go to iTunes. And if you can't remember where to go, there's always ColoredPeople.net, where everything is found. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest for tonight, who has been a member of our network for almost 2 years now, and it's Michael Green. And this is a multifaceted man who has such a wonderful, inspiring story. On our blog, I have reposted his article that was written a few years ago for Unity Magazine, and he resides in Southern California, and it's called It Was a Time of Innocence Denied, which is a story about his family. He comes from a multiracial background, his mother being Jewish and his father being African-American, and this is Black History Month, and personally, I am Black, so every day for me is Black History Month, but it's nice to have that because I always learn something new, being that I'm from Brazil, so I get to experience the American experience, the Black American experience, I should say, in this country, so... we all, people of color, have our stories to tell from different countries because we're scattered in the four corners of the world. But it's, I don't put down the Black History Month. I think it's a great thing to have. So, but Michael Green, you're with us?
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. And how are you this evening?
I am doing right good. Beautiful weather out here.
Great. What city are you in now?
I'm in Fremont, California, which is East Bay, just across from San Francisco.
Okay. All right. Well, I am looking at your article right now that you wrote for Unity Magazine, and I'm curious to know, how did that come about? How did you connect with Unity Magazine? And then we'll talk a little bit about the article.
Sure. My mother-in-law was selling ad space for that magazine, and I approached the editor, the owner, and asked if I could write an article, a travel article, because I travel a lot of places on the West Coast. But as we started talking, when he discovered that I was multiracial and his magazine deals with people of multiracial, he said, tell me something about yourself. And I started talking to him about my parents and about what they went through. And he asked me to write an article that he was going to publish. And I wrote a draft of it, and then he said, no, we need to get more of the background. So I ended up going more into the background, asking my mom questions that I'd never asked her before. And that's kind of how it got rolling. And ironically, it turned out to be one of their best-selling magazines. And then for whatever reason, he decided to stop publishing the magazine and go back to selling a newspaper.
Okay, so the magazine is no longer in existence, but they are still in the newspaper business. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a small little newspaper that he publishes once a week or something like that. It's just more of a hobby for him. He's retired.
Okay, and the circulation is where?
Michigan, I would say Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Grand Rapids.
And this is African American.
Yeah, exactly. His name is Mr. Matheson. Him and his wife published a newspaper.
Okay. Tell me about the research on this article, and what did you learn about yourself and about your family through having to write this article?
Well, you know, it was interesting because I thought I knew a lot about my mom and my dad. But I quickly discovered that there was a lot that I didn't know. So I obviously started with my mom, and I asked her questions about how she met my dad and about my aunt, who also married an African-American. And ironically, I probably learned more now within the last year because my sister Debbie, she went on to Ancestry.com, and she ended up discovering relatives that we didn't even realize that we had, and I just recently met one of my mom's relatives named Rebecca Siegel, who dad would be my uncle on my father's, on my mother's side.
Okay. So your parents met in the 50s, and who were they at the time when they met? Tell me a little bit the background on this love story.
Sure. Well, on my mom's side, their parents owned a place called the Colonial House, which was in Hartford, Connecticut, and it was a family-run business, and they hired African-American males to be waiters, and of course, my mom worked there, And so they met at the restaurant, but they obviously had to keep everything pretty low-key because, again, we're talking about the 1950s. And so they had a secret relationship, and they fell in love with each other. They determined that they wanted to marry each other. So I would say probably in 51, they decided to elope. But being African-American and white, nobody would marry them. So finally, my dad, who was a Mason, went to another Mason in Philadelphia, and the Mason agreed to marry them. And obviously, living in Hartford was not going to work, being multiracial. California was a lot more liberal. The game plan was to move to San Francisco, but they opted for L.A. instead.
I'm here listening to you, and I can envision, you know, this young couple in love and being forbidden to, you know, have a life because of the color of their skin. It's really, really interesting. I don't usually like discussing the subject because, you know, there are different perspectives, there's different opinions, and there, you know, but the reality is that the racism has been, and it will always be there. So, you know, it's something that we have to deal with, and it's not just obviously geared towards us. You know, there's all kinds of isms out there.
Right.
So, you know, but growing up, I know your sisters, Debbie and Pam. You mentioned Pam a little earlier about the
Debbie.
We were off the air, and you're telling me that your dad is it Pam that your dad gave the Mason ring to?
Actually, I she gave it to Debbie to hold. Now, obviously, women are not allowed to be a Mason. Debbie cleared that up for me. She said, make sure you get this right. She's only holding this. Only a male can be a Mason. And so Debbie's kind of like the gatekeeper of our family. She's in charge of keeping the legacy in terms of our ancestry.
So females would be Eastern Star? Is that how that works?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, get it. All right.
I just wanted to clear that up because, you know, she would get in trouble
if that ever came out the other way. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. I understand. Okay, well, say hello to Pam. Say hello to Debbie. Say hello to your mom. I know your dad passed away a few years ago.
Dad passed away in 1968. But, yeah, my mom, she's in a convalescent home. She's been she's hanging on. She had a few strokes. So, you know, she's doing fine. It's just that now she has to have 24-hour care because just of the nature of her health. I mean, going to be 85, 86 years old. So she's just carrying on. She has a wonderful spirit. I love talking to her. So it's like when we finish with this, I'm going to go in there and spend a little time with her. And she just got a new Kindle Fire, so I'm showing her how to use it.
That's great. I came from Brazil and being mostly a black country, but I was actually raised around mostly Caucasians. I went to American school back home, and my family was and is Caucasian. I'm adopted, my adoptive parents. But my question to you is, did you feel somewhat of a identity confusion growing up, or, you know, how was your upbringing?
Well, you know, definitely, I think anybody that's multiracial will have to say honestly that there's definitely a little bit of confusion. Again, growing up in L.A., it was a lot more liberal, and there were other multiracial kids around me. My parents hung out with other multiracial families as well. So consequently, you know, I don't think, only once did somebody call me the N-word, and I cleared that up really quickly with him that was totally inappropriate. And I went to multiracial schools, so, I mean, you know, like, you know, there were whites and blacks and Hispanics. So it was just kind of, you know, I'm glad I grew up here and not somewhere else where it would have been a lot more difficult. And in terms of identity crisis, I mean, you know, my mom's Jewish and I was raised Catholic. So that was always, you know, that was always an interesting thing bringing up to people. The joke would be I have twice the guilt and twice the shame. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and the Jewish religion, in case people don't know this, if your mother's Jewish, then the kids are Jewish. And ironically, like in the case of Rebecca Siegel, her father was Jewish, but her mother was British. So, ironically, she is not considered Jewish unless she decides to join the Jewish religion, whereas for our family, we are Jewish, and it was always interesting. The Jewish people have always been very kind, and I used to tell them I was half Jewish and said, no, you are full Jew. You're part of the tribe. So they could, and they've always been very gracious to me, and the same goes for African-Americans. But, you know, again, I consider it a benefit now because at the time it was kind of like, well, but it's like, wow, everybody wants to be up, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, I for the longest time I didn't really spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I separated the network from myself because before on Facebook it was just colorpeople.net. So I didn't want to do a lot of personal things because I was representing the network. But I decided to create a page for colored people. So now I can be me, you know. Although sure. I still focus on the promoting of the network, so I don't get, you know, I don't have a lot of personal things in there, like family pictures and things. I still separate that. But I'm saying this to say that with my interaction with Facebook, and I was able to experience the amount of love and the amount of friends from all walks of life and all the support that you have, you know, when the show was announced. And so it's just so beautiful to see, you know, how many lives you've touched, you know. And it really doesn't matter your background, where you came from. It's really you as a person that we all should know that, you know. Not everybody expresses that in their behavior, but it's really about the person. So I'm really honored to have you here. I'm honored to have you as a network member. And we have a couple of people in chat that I want to acknowledge. Let me go to that page. I'm multitasking here, and I oftentimes get lost with all the windows I have open. We have Janice Birkley. I think that's how I pronounce your name, Janice. She will be a guest with us on March 18th. She's a fabulous vocalist, a very soulful music, and I have a song of hers to play here so you guys can get to know her a little bit. Sophia Flott Warner, also a member of the network, supporting you and us, Michael. She's a voiceover artist and actress, so thank you for your support. And we have a few other people in chat. So Janice is saying Janice B will do. So Janice B, yes. Good to have you. And for all of you listening, I have one other person. Forgive me if I mispronounce your name. Tarhaka is also in chat. So and I also made a lot of friends through your friends. So thank you. Thank you for... you know, networking is a wonderful thing. You know, we live in a very exciting time. So, but anyway, we do have a caller here. I'm going to start taking calls in a little bit. But let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're talking to Michael Green.
Hey there. This is Big Trigger, the host and producer of Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, and you are currently listening to ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network.
And we are back with ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. This show is sponsored by DaughterNature.com, and I really urge you to check out. This is our sponsor, DaughterNature.com. They offer wholesale gifts, actually, so there's no reason for you to pay retail prices ever again. And also HealthRoad.net, which offers you Zeal for Life, a 100% natural nutritional supplement. It's a fabulous product, and I thank you for supporting our supporters, our sponsors, DaughterNature.com and ColorPeople.net. And we're back with Michael Green, and we are chatting about his life, and we are talking about his upbringing in California. And I'd like to talk to you about, Michael, I have my notes here. You worked with Merv Griffin. Was that... If I'm not wrong, was that on Hollywood, La Cienega?
Sunset and Vine.
Sunset and Vine. How was that experience? Tell me. And how did you connect with Merv Griffin's show? And what did you do?
That was my first job in the industry. I worked there in '86, and I was there for a couple of years. And I was a page on the Merv Griffin show, and I was there in his very last episode. And he was a really interesting person. I don't know if everybody realizes Merv Griffin is the creator of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And so I had a chance to learn a lot about the business. I worked in the mailroom, and then I used to hand out tickets for the Wheel of Fortune show. It was an interesting experience.
In South America and all adjoining islands.
Okay, I heard something in the background. What was that? Was that?
I didn't hear. I heard that too. I don't know where that came from.
Okay.
No problem. Sorry, like all of a sudden this voice came in. I was like, where did that come from?
No problem. I you know what? I may have opened the phone line and I have somebody on the line. Area code 904. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, so that's who we heard. Well, welcome, and who's this?
I am Tahaka Manael Bay. I am the Divine Minister of the Moorish American National Government.
Welcome. And good to have you here.
Okay.
And are you listening because you are a friend of Michael, or you just happen to hear about the show and...
Well, I have a couple of questions. I have a question for Michael, and I have a question for you.
Okay.
The first question is, and my reason for asking this question, I host a show on Blog Talk Radio as well, and I am a Moorish national and a scholar. I teach, and I'm also a scientist. But I want to know from Michael, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, he is Jewish?
Yes.
Am I right in assuming that's what I heard?
Yeah, I'm Jewish and black, yes.
Okay, all right. And my reason for my question to you is, Michael, we know that Van Liesveld created the Gutenberg Press in the 16th century. And prior to that, the alphabet J did not exist. So what I want to know from you, and could you please tell me what the Jews were called prior to the alphabet J coming into existence?
You know something, I can honestly say I wouldn't know that answer. I want to clear up one thing, and that is, though I was born Jewish, I really wasn't raised Jewish. I was actually raised Catholic, Christian, and I would love to know that answer. But I can't tell you because I don't know.
Okay.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for calling us. Thank you for tuning in. Tarhaka, I'm at your blog talk radio page here, Tarhaka Live 100. I thank you so much for your support. Michael, I wanted to continue asking you about the Merv Griffin, yes, Wheel of Fortune. I forgot about that. Wheel of Fortune and what was the other one?
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Whoa, hello, Jeopardy. How could I forget that? So how long did you work there?
I worked there for a couple of years, and then around that same time, I ended up getting a job at the Daily News. I wanted to pursue writing. And I wanted to just work a nighttime job so I could pursue writing, and so that's what I worked there for about 2 years.
Okay, and you also had 13 years in the Daily News. Tell me about that experience, and how did you get a job at the Daily News, and what did you do?
Yeah, basically what I did, it was just like a little part-time job to earn some extra money because I wanted to buy a house. And then the longer I stayed there, I was working in the distribution side. So I was initially, when I started there, Jack Ken Cook owned the paper, and Jack Ken Cook also owned the Lakers and the Forum at the time. And I think Hollywood Tracks. He was a big guy. And every morning I would have to deliver his paper to the Bel Air Hotel, as well as a couple other stops. And then the longer I was there, I ended up getting into management in the area of distribution. It wasn't a job that really I expected to do, but it was good because it taught me the fact it was so imperative that I showed up on time, if not a little bit earlier. And it's really important to what I'm doing now. It's like what I'm doing now I'll real briefly because I know you're probably asking me other questions, but I provide motorhomes for commercials and photo shoots. And if somebody tells me I have to be there at 7 o'clock, I better be there at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, because the motorhome is like one of the most critical pieces of equipment. I show up late. Oh my God, that could be like the worst thing. So working at the Daily News, it was a good training tool, because I was working sometimes 7 days a week. And again, for what I'm doing right now, it segues, because sometimes I'm working 7 days a week. Sometimes, you know, I'm working really long hours. So having that experience working at the Daily News really helped me what I'm doing now. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. You know, I keep forgetting to unmute myself, and I apologize. This is a live show, ladies and gentlemen, so you're getting it raw and uncut. I did the exact same thing last time. I'm trying to get used to it because my phone has static sometimes, so I have to mute myself.
Okay.
But what I was saying was that I'm looking forward to talking to you a little bit more about your motorhome business, your RV business, I should say, and your documentary with regarding Dory Miller. So let's take a quick break. And what I'd like to do is, let me refresh my screen here. I hope I don't lose everybody, because I downloaded some material here that I want to share with you guys. And we're talking to Michael Green. He is a multifaceted, talented businessman, has had so many experiences. He lives in Southern California. He's been a sound man. He still is a photographer. His work is beautiful. If you are a ColorPeople.net member, you can check out Michael's page and check out his photography. And we will take a quick break and listen to Janice B., My Light. She will be with us March 18th, and here she is.
There's a light fills me up inside, shining through my eyes, guiding me toward my dreams. I will try to put the past aside, let go of my pride, walk the path that's calling me. If I don't find the way, make a change. At the end of the day, there's only me to blame. This my life, and I will fly. Heed the lesson, keep the blessing, leave the rest behind. It's my dream, and I design where the journey's gonna take me in my time. Cause it's my life. I can see where I want to be, learning what I need. Take me higher than the sky. I am free to reach my destiny. Bring out the best in me. Take the world and make it mine. Searching for the signs along the way. And I'm gonna rise no matter what they say. It's my life, and I will fly. Heed the lesson, keep the blessing, leave the rest behind. It's my dream. I design where the journey's gonna take me in my time. Cause it's my life, and I will fly. Heed the lesson, keep the blessing, leave the rest behind. It's my dream, and I design where the journey's gonna take me in my time. By the light that I'm feeling inside, watch me fly. Cause it's my life, and I will fly. Heed the lesson, keep the blessing, leave the rest behind. It's my dream, and
March 18th. Right now with us we have Michael Green. You know, Michael, I love that song because it's so inspirational. It fits right in with you know, what we're talking about, your life and your dreams and you know, your desire to share with the world your work. So are you still there with us?
Yeah, I agree. And it's a beautiful song. Very inspiring.
I agree. Thank you, Janice. I appreciate it. Looking forward to having you. I will set up the show as soon as I can and send you the link. Marco, we have someone on the line and someone that means a lot to you because there is a connection in your life, in your sister's life. So we're going to bring her on for a few minutes and then we're going to go talk about your blogs and your filming and so on and so forth. So
sure.
Let me open up the line. Judy, are you there? Judy? Okay, I think she's listening to us on her computer, which I'm going to have to ask her to turn down, and then she will have to be with us on the phone. Are you with us, Judy?
Sure. Let me open up the line. Judy, are you there?
Oh, okay. Tell you what.
Yes, hi.
Oh, there
hi, Judy.
You are.
Yeah. I'm,
hi,
I'm
Judy.
Doing the no-no. Hey, Mike.
How
I'm
you
doing,
doing
the no-no. I'm listening to the blog talk, and I have the phone on, so I put the phone down. Excuse me. Hi, I'm loving the show. I mean, I know a lot of this because I kind of shared some of it with Mike, kind of growing up together with Mike. But it's always refreshing to hear you talk about your life.
Yeah, I'll say this, Judy. Judy is like a sister to me. We're only a month apart from each other, and I always kind of felt that we're connected to each other in a very special way.
Yeah. Truly. And just for the record, I've got to say how proud I am of you and everything that you've been doing and growing as a person over the past 51 years now, you know.
Don't remind me.
You've got 1 month.
I know.
1 month
and
to go,
got,
and I'm right behind
you. You got 2 months, so, yeah, I know. But, you know, to be honest with you, it's just a number, you know.
That's true, but, you know, we're the new 30-something. And I also wanted to say, again, for the record, that the article in the magazine was wonderful, and I didn't even know all that. You know, so I'm just so grateful that you shared that in print and kind of made a recording for your family history. And thanks for, you know, including my family in there also. And it was like such a privilege to know, you know, how supportive my mom was to your mom.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of cements the connection that we've had over, what, 40-some years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, your family is so intertwined into our family, and as I said, your family is responsible for us being Catholic.
Yes.
And I mean, and
good
and
old
your mom.
your
mom is one heck of a cook. Oh
yeah.
My God,
yeah.
That gumbo and jambalaya. Oh man, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, I just posted a. Not posted, but I tagged everybody pictures of my mom today, and my dad was kind of missing them. And, you know, and it was, like, touching to hear you talk about your mom, you know. So we're kind of going personal, but, you know,
your parents were so influential, the nicest people you could ever meet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great people.
Yeah, and considering, you know, what your mom and dad had to go through, you know, since we're talking about the multiracial, the relationship, that perspective
right.
of it, how fortunate they were and blessed they were to have a family that was receptive, you know, of color on that street, because, you know, Bronson was not well mixed or integrated at that point in the 50s. So that was their blessing, you know, and our blessing too, because my mom, she, you know, loved your mom too. So wait, did you see that picture of that Debbie sent us when we went to Catalina Island and your mom was there?
Yeah.
Oh my. And the large.
It's funny because I remember that picture very well, and a lot of people commented on it, and I can't figure out where I must. I don't know if I took that picture or what. It wouldn't surprise me because I love photography.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen some of those people in so long. Your mom, Mrs. Lark, who died in the 70s. It was and that was a big white steamer. I remember that day we were going to Canada Island, and it was just, we had so much fun.
Yeah, it just underscores
how close
our families were really close. So that's all I wanted to say. Mike is great because he had a good upbringing and a lot of positive, influential people in his life, and it shows because he has integrity and he's so creative and resourceful, and I'm just really proud of you, Mike. So I'm going to say goodbye and let somebody else get a word in. And I don't mean to ignore you, Miss Hostess with the Mostess, my wonderful sister in Christ and wonderful friend. I'm proud of you and everything that you're doing with colorpeople.net. This is just so amazing, so awesome, and I just love the idea. I love your commitment to it, and you're an amazing person, so I'm proud of you too. But I'm not going to hog up any more time of your show. I shouldn't say hog. I'm not going to take up any more time. I don't eat pork, you know, so I don't want to use that reference in terms of my time or your time.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice talking to you, Judy.
Okay. I love you both. Hugs. Okay.
Bye.
Go Giants.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
I'm a 49er fan. I'm not going to be saying that.
Speaking of positive people behind you, you know, the saying goes that, forgive me if I misquote it, but behind every successful and every good man, there's a good woman. So I have to give your wife some props because she was the one who helped you get into the RV business. And actually, the RV business is a really nice niche for you, and especially that there aren't that many minorities doing what you're doing. So tell me, how did you get started briefly in the RV? Because you're labeled the RV guru of the entertainment business. So tell me exactly what type of entertainers and celebrities, and what do you do for them?
Yeah, basically, it was interesting. I was working for a special effects company, and I was there for about 3.5 years, a company called Vision Crew Unlimited in Culver City. And I got laid off in January of 2000. And it's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I just got married 6 months earlier. And I just ran across this article, ad in one of the trade magazines, that they were looking for an RV driver. And I mentioned it to my wife, and I said, she said, listen, you can do it. You have a college degree. You have a good background. Just go down there. So I called them up. And to my surprise, they hired me on the spot. And I said, you know, listen, I've never driven anything larger than a bobtail truck. And they said, listen, go on a couple of trips. If you like it, great. If not, no big deal. Well, I ended up going on a couple of jobs with another driver to teach me what to do. And I really started liking it. Well, I'm also kind of I'm very well organized. And I quickly realized there was no organization to what was going on. We didn't know when the motorhomes were being serviced or what. So I decided on my own to develop an accounting system, invoicing system. And then I kind of looked at the motorhomes and said, hey, we got this other motorhome that's hardly, it's not being used and it needs to get some work. And I mentioned it to my boss, and the owner was impressed and asked me if I'd like to become the transportation captain.
and in charge of that, because the other producers were just too busy being producers. So I ended up doing that. Ironically, the owner of the company was Jewish, and I mentioned to the owner of the company that I was Jewish. I don't know whether that helped or not, but my mom always said, you know, use the race card to your advantage. And before I knew it, I was getting really good at this. And in terms of celebrities, I've had a chance to work with Oprah. In fact, one of my favorite Oprah stories is we were shooting just south of Santa Barbara at Montecito. And one of these communities up in the hills that all these rich people live in. And I overheard her talk to her assistant saying, I love this house. Remind me to pick this house up. Like as if she was just, you know,
remind me to pick this house up.
Yeah.
Like it's a blouse or a pair of shoes, right?
Exactly. And sure enough, as is, I read in the trade papers 2 months later that she bought that house for like $40 million. She wrote the check and bought the house for $40 million. And she was really nice. She was a really nice person, I have to say.
Yeah, you were telling me about your Brad Pitt stories and Will Smith, and I'm very proud of you to see that, you know, you're finding your way and that you are a good person. I love your blogs, and now you service the entire West Coast and neighboring states. That's what's your fleet like? How big is your fleet?
It's just one motorhome. What I kind of learned early on, it was that the people that are going to hire me in terms of my niche are people that want to hire people that own equipment, because they find that they get better service. Now, there's other companies in LA that they can go to, but every time I worked in a particular state, I would decide to advertise, and that really helped me a lot when the economy went sour, because I was in those other states. I was still able to work, and a lot of times when people call me, I have to ask them, you know, what are we talking about? And I just want to kind of keep small. I would love to get another motorhome down the line, but I want to make sure the economy is strong enough to sustain that.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Now, help us understand in what capacity do you service these celebrities, like Oprah, for example. What did she need your services for?
Well, basically, a lot of times we're in remote locations, even if we're on a downtown L.A. street. So what they really need in general is they need a motorhome that has makeup, hair, and wardrobe, a place for the clients to hang in. And that's what I provide.
Right.
And a lot, you know, I would have to say that probably maybe 20% of my business is celebrities. The rest of it are like models, you know, or we're working on car shoots and things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, if you guys want more information about Michael Green's business, on our Blog Talk Radio page, we have his blogs, so you have his contact there. Also, on our coloredpeople.net page, I have posted the show information as well as his blog links. And, of course, if you ever go to our our coloredpeople.net page, you can see everything. Yeah, I did just say that, didn't I? When you're multitasking. You're trying to keep up with your thoughts. But let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Mr. Michael Green, and we'll talk about your documentaries and your future projects. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Big Trigger, the host and producer of Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, located at www.sojpradio.com. stop by and listen to a wonderful blend of jazz and poetry. And also, I'm a proud member of ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network hosted by Tanya Maria Xavier. So stop by ColoredPeople.net, where we celebrate each other's artistic achievements.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Tanya Maria, your host. And that was a big trigger. Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, SOJPRadio.com. Big Trigger is also a member of the network. His shows are awesome. He has some fabulous guests and really quality stuff. So SOJP, which is Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, SOJP.com. Check it out. And we're back with Michael Green, our distinguished guest tonight.
Thank you.
And Michael, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's an honor to have you as part
Likewise.
Of our family. Thank you. Now, tell me about the Dori Miller documentary. And I have on our Blog Talk Radio a brief story about Dori Miller, for those of you who don't know, that he was a mess man on the battleship Arizona the day that the Japanese made a surprise attack at Pearl Harbor, December 7th. And this was when the Navy was segregated and African-Americans were only allowed to do menial jobs. And Miller, Dori Miller, grabbed a 50-caliber machine gun, and a gun that he was not trained to shoot, and he ended up shooting down four Japanese aircraft before he ran out of ammunition. So tell me what prompted you to do this documentary, and I know you're still working on it. It's not a final project, but tell us about that, please.
It was kind of interesting. My wife was on the way back from Michigan, and she sat next to this guy named Commander Sherman. Stephen Sherman, and Commander Stephen Sherman was a friend of Dori Miller, and he's been trying to get Dori Miller a Medal of Honor. Not a single African American, just to give you a historical perspective, ever received the Medal of Honor during World War II. After, yes, but not during. In World War, in the Battle of Pearl Harbor, I think there was like 22 Medal of Honors that were given out, but not to a single African American. Technically, when Dori Miller did this, he kind of was low-key about this because he could have got court-martialed. But it eventually came out in the press, and it turned into a really big thing. And I think he did get the Navy Cross, but for him to get the Medal of Honor would have meant that all those admirals and generals were going to have to salute him. And during that time period, that just was not going to happen. So that's why he was never denied. And Commander Stephen Sherman has been fighting for this ever since then. And he's an interesting person. And I started shooting Commander, and there's a bunch of other people I want to shoot. It's just that my biggest problem is just having the time to do it. And I have so many other little projects that keep on popping up. But, if you ever see the movie Pearl Harbor, Cuba Gooding Jr. plays Dori Miller, and if you ever see the movie Tora Tora, there's a brief scene with an African American. I don't know his name. He plays him rather briefly. He's like one of those unsung heroes that people just don't know about.
That is great. That's great history. That's great work that you do. All right. So what are you working on now, and what are your future plans as far as artistically speaking?
Well, I have my blog, and what I find interesting about my blog, it's called Mike Green, the RV Guru of the Entertainment Industry. I really talk about locations, and just recently, one of the top photo shoot producers contacted me. She had read my blog about Amboy, and she was looking for a location just like that. And she asked me, tell me what you know about it. And I told her what I knew about it. And she asked me last Tuesday to go out there and shoot some pictures because I do locations on the side. So So my blog is one of the things that I want to do. Of course, I want to continue working on the Julie Miller project. And then another producer just contacted me, and I hope this project happens. It's kind of early on in this, and I'm not sure if this project will ever get off the ground, but I'm hoping it does, is that he wants to – his name is Kevin Foster. He's the first man to ever ride the Wall of China, and also he rode from one end of Cuba to the next. Now what he wants to do is he wants to ride for health and wellness to every major, to every capital in the United States. Now, not necessarily going to ride to each one of them, but we're going to show up and to those places and just promote health and wellness. So hopefully I'm going to, he asked me if I was interested in working next summer on this project. And this will be probably the most ambitious project I've ever worked on. It's going to go on for about 2 or 3 months next summer. And he wants to do a different thing each year. So I'm hoping he's going to get this project off the ground. And then I do photography on the side. I shoot models. In fact, one of the artists that I just recently shot, she's in Foster. She used one of my pictures for her single. Her name is Lynn James. She actually used one of the pictures I shot of her last summer for her single cover.
That's great. All right. Tell us the different blogs you have, because you have more than one. I'm looking here. You have the Let's Talk About What's New in Tech. So you're the techie.
Oh, yeah. I love techie. I mean, get me around somebody who's a tech and, you know, forget it. You're not going to see us for a while. I love what Apple is doing. And I swear, if I have another kid, I'm going to name him I, Mike, or I, Jane. What I talk about is technology. I talk about Android versus the iPhone. I might talk about latest gizmos that are coming out of Apple, or even, what's coming out in general in tech, because it integrates very well in what I do. Because when we get to a location, my clients need to be able to go online. They need to be able to print. They need to be able to, we might have to send files from L.A. to New York so that their bosses know what's going on. So me being able to know technology, and sometimes their firewalls are so difficult to get into wirelessly, I've been able to circumvent that and still allow them to be able to do their business. So I talk about technology. And it's just part of my life.
Well, full service business, that's right. You know, we're in the day and age today that people need a one-stop shop, you know, and if we can't provide that, then they're going to go somewhere else. So especially in the entertainment world, you know, where things, timeline and things, they have to be done a certain way, they have to be done fast. So, this is really awesome that you are reinventing yourself and being innovative and just good business.
And the thing about it is I have a team. I have a team of people behind me. You know, when I need things technology wise, I have people to go to. When it comes to getting work done on my motorhome, I have people to go to. So even though I'm a one man operation, I'm really not. And in turns, I work with other vendors, and we give. Mark Hoffman up here in San Francisco, or Peter Williams, he might give me work when he's overbooked, or Ara Meridian, or John Guest, they might give me work when they're overbooked. So it's like I'm part of a team, you know, that we all kind of help each other out.
Right. That's good. Networking. That's the word. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Michael. You going to say something else?
No. I was going to say, it's just part of being, teamwork is everything. I never want to take more credit than I deserve because, as I said, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for the people behind me, like my sisters, my mom, my wife, and the wonderful Facebook family that I have, my wonderful people at colorpeople.com. You know, we're all tied into each other, even though we might live in different places.
That's beautiful. That's right. Give credit where credit is due. We're going to take a quick short break. The show is almost over. I'd like to let everybody know I'm very excited about our next show, which is February 26th with Hulon, H-U-L-O-N. You can find him on Facebook. He's actually another phenomenal person. He is a doctor, but also plays the tenor saxophone and a philanthropist and has so many businesses and just a great heart, great person. He's going to be with us next February 26th, and he has an album coming out, which is called Huelon After Hours, February 7th, just a couple of days from now. And we're going to listen a quick clip of his music called Do You Feel Me? That's Huelon. We'll be right back. And for Janice B, you can purchase her album. It's already out. She'll be with us March 18th. And it's stinkyfacemusic.com. Stinky, S-T-I-N-K-I, facemusic.com/Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E-B. I love that name. Stinky Face Music. We're back with Michael. We have somebody on the line, Michael. You want to take a call? I have no idea who that is.
So, okay.
All right, let's find out. I just opened up your line. You've been patiently on hold, area code 707. Who are you?
Hello, is this for 707?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Kimball Goodman, an old friend of Michael from about...
hey, Kimball, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man? You know, first of all, host, I want to thank you for, you know, putting this show on. I've been a collector of Afro-American art for the last 30-plus years, and this is wonderful. And when I got the Facebook invite, this is great. And Michael, to hear your your mother's story, that was wonderful. She's a great lady. You have a great family, and it's good to hear from Judy also. But good to hear from you, man.
Same to you. I mean, Kimmel and I, God, we went to St. Paul's together, and your sisters, and, you know, and I Kimmel always pops up on my Facebook page and everything. It's kind of a great way of connecting. Are you still, what part of the country are you living in these days?
I'm up in the San Francisco Bay Area, up in a small little town called Venetia, and we're trying to diversify this town with art and everything else here. It's nice. It's a very nice town, though.
You should give me a call because I'm actually up here right now. I'm going to be working on a shoot on Tuesday up in Jack London Park, if you know where that is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely know where that is. And it's definitely good to hear from you, good to hear from everybody else. And all I can say is that keep up all the good work.
And same
to you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Kimball, we have some original artwork available at our sponsors. A site called DaughterNature.com. These are wonderful African-American artists. Their work is beautiful, so check it out. These are original pieces of art. It's at DaughterNature.com. Not only you, but everybody else listening, DaughterNature.com. You can see it right from the homepage. Just scroll down, and you can click and go to the art gallery. So, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the compliment. Thank you for the support. And thank you for accepting my friend request. I appreciate that and all the success to you. And congratulations on your awards. I've been checking out your page. I see you've been getting some awards. So you're doing some good things out there, too. So
yeah, I work for a bank, but I also consult a couple of congressmen up here in the Bay Area. It's all about networking. It's all about sharing, and it's all about love and joy, you know.
That's
and
right.
Thank you.
That's
thank you, Father, for what you're doing.
Thank you. My pleasure for having you on the show. Looking forward to connecting with you on Facebook. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Kimball.
You too now.
That's a blast from the past. I haven't heard his voice in years.
Well, there you go.
He's a great guy. His family is wonderful.
Well, we are down to the last minute or so of our show today. I'd like once again to thank all of you who have been so supportive of what we're doing. We're about helping one another. You know, we're artists. We bring color to this world. We are multicultural. We're people of faith. We just want to, you know, bless others and make our world a better place. So, you know, my way of doing that is supporting our members and bringing them to our show, letting the world know about their work and their art and their vision and their aspirations and, you know, and blessing your life with their light. So, you know, all I ask in return is that you pass on our page information to somebody who may be interested in what we're doing. So that's my thank you to you tonight. And thank you to you, Michael. Any closing thoughts before I let you all say goodnight and go enjoy your game?
Well, again, thank you for letting me have this experience. This was a lot of fun, and it was just real nice hearing some of these people like Judy and Kimball I hadn't heard from. And Judy I talked to a lot all the time, but it was nice hearing from Kimball. And it's just I really enjoyed this experience. I'm glad that you allowed me to do this. You're doing a great job. You're doing such a great job, Tanya Marie.
Thank you, Michael. It's a vision that I have, and it's greater than me. You know, I'm just going along with it, and whatever the Lord blesses, you know, there's no small and there's no big blessing. God is huge, you know, beyond our understanding. So I am humbled and grateful for anything and everything that comes out of this network. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you again, and best of luck to you.
Likewise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, all of you in chat, thank you for being with us. Don't forget, February 26th, Hugh Lawn. You can meet him on Facebook. Let him know I sent you. Visit us at coloredpeople.net, where you can connect with everything we have, everything we're doing, our blogs, our radio station. We even have apparel. We have really nice beanies and T-shirts, good quality, 100% cotton with our beautiful logo. So wear it with pride. And Janice B. with us, March 18th. And I'm going to leave you with Hugh Lawn, Do You Feel Me? And may you have a wonderful week, and God bless you all. Good night, Michael. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.